You're listening to ABC Radio National. You're most particularly listening to Movie Time. Now, I don't know why you're doing this. I don't know how many times I've told you, go and make your bed.
When The Silence of the Lambs appeared back in the 90s, critics were reminded that a film about a serial killer could be art. And then there were many, many more films, and they weren't. But one of the most interesting, convincing films about a serial killer was made way back in 1931 in Germany by Fritz Lang. It was based on the case of the child killer Peter Kurten, the so-called monster of Dusseldorf, and in M, Peter Lorre played the killer brilliantly. It's not just a masterpiece of psychopathology. It also invokes the frenzy of the mobs. Lang drew on German expressionism for his imagery. The film is set in a city of slanting shadows. There's menace even in the daylight. Today we're going to look at M through new eyes. Our guest on Trash and Treasure is Sarah Stolman, a production designer who now teaches at the Australian Film, Television and Radio School. Here's Jason DeRosso with Sarah.
I've always felt haunted by the film, the overall mood of it, through the lighting, through the shadows, and Peter Lorre's performance. If you could say the design of his whole person, you know, his costume, the way he stood, everything about his character was so consistent, and yet we don't know who he is.
What is this consistency reaching for? What does it evoke?
A sense for the audience that this could be anybody, that there's some aspect of his character psychologically in all of us. And I don't mean we all want to be child killers, but we all have an aspect of our personality which is not under our control.
This film is very much anchored in the reality of the day, isn't it? I mean, it's very much focusing on real-life kind of locations and types of people, characters.
It is, but I think that the true story, although based in that setting, is really in the mind.
Mm.
And therefore, I think the stylized aspect works really well because it keeps the audience going back to that story. So it sort of keeps pulling them back out of that reality. Like the shop front of the knives.
Yes.
You know, there's that shot where we see Peter Lorre walk up and look at himself in the mirror, which is surrounded by a frame made up of knives. And it's so elaborate and so frightening. And then you've got the criminals and the policemen both doing the same job simultaneously for different reasons. Those scenes are really interesting from a design point of view, too. In the prop and dressing sense, he uses a lot of animal figurines. You know, the club, for instance, is called the Crocodile Club, and there's a stuffed crocodile there.
Mm-hmm.
And in two different scenes with the two different inspectors, one of them has this little stuffed bear sitting on his desk. And the other inspector has a ceramic bird. And there's not much on the desk.
That's really interesting because many times in the film I see Peter Lorre's character as almost like an animal.
I think that's right because he's being chased down like an animal. And then it's going back to thinking about sort of animal motivations in terms of psychology.
Mm.
There are a couple of other scenes where he has birds in them. I think that one where, the cuckoo clock,
yes,
which is in the house of the mother.
She's the mother of the first victim we see in the film, yeah.
And clocks from that point over also just run throughout the film.
Mm.
And I think there's an obvious thing about the passing of time in terms of finding him, but also just about how we think of time and sort of the cycle of life. I think he's quite obsessed with a lot of geometries, uses circles a lot.
Tell me about the killer's home.
Well, it's interesting. It's incredibly sparse. There's a mirror, which you don't really understand the geography of until you see the room as a whole. And that first table, which is round, which the inspector, you know, peels the tablecloth off.
Yes, when the landlady has left the room. Yes,
yes, that's
to kind of do this examination. Yes.
Yeah. But it's very sparse and clean, except when you get to that windowsill, when he goes back to look at it, it's very rough wood, which again you see again later in the film, in the attic, there's all that rough paling that's separating the storage areas. And in the final scene of the film, there's this rough wood right next to him that he clings onto when he's sort of kneeling down, telling his, you know, giving his speech.
What does that evoke, do you think?
Well, I was thinking about this quite a lot. I mean, it evokes a connection to nature, but you could also say it evokes this sort of worn down feeling, because it's all wood that has been made for another purpose and then worn down. It's not in its natural state. So maybe it is a comment about the animal aspect, like getting back to that nature. Maybe it's a comment of sort of disintegration of man on a psychological or ethical level.
I was wondering almost if there's a hint of the crucifix, maybe.
Oh, yes.
Symbolically.
Yeah, possibly. Because it's such a story about, you know, one man and one man being chased down for what he has done wrong. Now, all of us would probably agree, yes, he has done something wrong.
Sure.
But the point of the whole film is really to investigate that beyond what was done as to why it was done.
Yes.
So you definitely could look at that story. And the way he sort of is leaning up against that piece of wood in that final scene, you know, does actually bring those feelings forth of, you know, Jesus on the cross.
Ich kann nicht.
Sarah Stolman. She now heads production design at the Australian Film, Television and Radio School. And there are a couple of versions of M, I think, available on DVD.